You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. I want to thank you for your support for me and Focus Evangelistic Ministries, my family, and all the things that we're doing. You may know that I'm in a trial with brain cancer right now, and we're going on with the Lord. We are just going to serve the Lord as long as we can, as much as we can in this world. Friend, this world needs some rejoicing, and I just often wonder, why is there not more rejoicing in the family of God? It seems like a lot of people who know the Lord seem to really get discouraged and down and out, and some even quit these days. And this is really nonsense when we go to the Bible and see what it says. Before we talk about rejoicing in the Lord today, I want to tell you a story of what happened to me one night on the road. This is what I do. It's how we roll. And on this particular night, our representative in an area had connected me with a music band. They were going to play. I was going to speak the gospel on that night. And we got together, and I carried a representative with me from our ministry, and we asked the pastor of the host church if it would be okay if we could have a room that we'd like to pray in, spend a little quiet time together before we went on that night. So he showed us to a very small office room. My representative and I went in, and we were talking together, and I was just about to read from the Bible. We were pretty excited about the opportunity that night. And all of a sudden, with no knock at all, the pastor barged into the room. It was pretty rude, that opening into the room, but after all, it was his church, and we were very grateful that he was opening the door for a great opportunity that night with a full house. But I don't understand why there wasn't even a knock, but he just barged in, and behind him was the whole band. It was quite a crew, and we filled up the whole room. And the pastor just loudly announced something like, "Preacher, we want to pray now." And I just, as graciously as I could, stood in my place and said, "Pastor, that'd be great, but I was just about to read from the Bible. Would it be okay before we start to pray if I just went ahead and read this?" He said, "Yeah," or mumbled some approval of that, and I began to read from the Word. This is what I read. Romans 5 and verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, when I read those verses, every member of that band reacted. It was like a firecracker went off in the room. It was shocking how glad-hearted they were. It was shocking how they received that good word from God. And they were also really fired up about taking the stage on that night. And that was so odd to compare their reaction to the Word of God to the pastor's reaction. I mean, this was his realm, right? I mean, this is what it ought to all be about. But I want to tell you, friend, I just got to say it. There was no gladness in his heart. There was nothing showing at all that had anything to do with rejoicing, the idea of being glad to know the Lord or glad to serve the Lord. Well, that night we went out and they gave a really good concert and I preached a really good gospel. In fact, the only true gospel being announced in the whole wide world. And we had a lot of people trust Christ as their Savior that night. And that church had a great excitement around it. And when we left that night, the pastor was long gone by the time we closed the door. The band wanted to hang around with me, and they did for a couple of hours. And then at a restaurant, even after we were the last to leave that church, they still wanted to talk to me about how they could do the gospel in a better way in their concert ministry. The reason that we all were so excited is what I want to talk to you about today, friend. And that is, what is all this excitement about? Well, it's the excitement that comes with the gospel of God's amazing grace. These verses, I mean, I want to read them every day. I need them every hour. Romans 5, 1 and 2. He says, being justified by faith. Now, the word justified means declared righteous by God. Now, there's only one way to get that, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. There are no other alternative ways to get God to declare of you, you are righteous in my eyes. You see, friend, we can't ride religion into God's justification. This is not about good works. You could do a million good works every morning of your life and not get God to declare that you're righteous, friend. Finding this truth sets our souls on fire when we receive it that way. Do you understand this? You see, it's not about obeying the Ten Commandments or the other hundreds of laws written in the Old Testament. That won't get you to have God declare you righteous, but faith in Jesus Christ does. He says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the only way to come to peace with God. You see, God ought to be at war with all of us because we're sinners and He's holy. And He said the penalty that we owe Him is a death penalty. And the consequences can be eternal of not believing in God's one and only way to be justified in His eyes. But friend, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves at peace with God. The one that we should be at odds with now welcomes us into His family, into full forgiveness, into this justified state that is our state. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, friend, I know I'm headed for the glory of God. It might be in a short time, it might be a long time, depending on how long He wants to tarry until the rapture. But I know the promise of God is I'm headed for glory, and so are all believers. The very least we could do is enjoy it. Amen. We should rejoice in Him all the time. Listen, rejoicing is not about our current circumstance and all the problems that are in the world today. Our rejoicing is based in the deep facts of the gospel. That is, I am a dirty, rotten sinner, but I've been declared righteous in God's eyes by faith in Jesus who loved me and gave Himself for me. Therefore, we ought to rejoice all the time. Now, that pastor on that night is not the only one who's ever turned sour in the ministry. A long time ago, there was a man named Martin Luther. He was Catholic, and he was very insecure in his faith. Not sure what his faith was, in fact, but he was a part of the ministry and scared to death he was going to hell. One night there had been a terrible storm, and as the lightning flashed and thunder rolled, he made a promise to God that if He'd deliver him from that storm, he'd become a monk, and so he did. But it was a lot of sourness. But Martin Luther, over the course of time, read the Bible, and from Psalm 22, he went to Romans chapter 1, and this is what he read, Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. Amen. And when Martin Luther read Romans 1:17, it turned his sourness into sweetness. It turned his doubt into faith. It turned him to rejoicing, and he did the finest work I've ever seen a Catholic do when he began to try and get the truth of the gospel of salvation by faith into people's minds. Now, Martin Luther didn't go far enough. He could have gone a lot farther to give us these great truths of grace. But he did some fine work in what he did do. And friend, I want you to know, this is the news of the gospel, that people can be justified by faith. And people can enter into the glory of God by faith. People can know they have full forgiveness of their sins by faith. And people can know they have everlasting life, could never lose it. No one could steal it away, by faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, he uses the word hope in Romans 5:2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And that's not a wishy-washy hope. The word hope in the Bible is a Greek word, elpis. It means something that we're so certain of that we look forward to it. And that's what the glory of God is for us who have entered by faith in Jesus to salvation. We're so certain that we're going to the glory of God that we already are assured of it and look forward to it. Amen. Anticipation is a wonderful thing with God. Romans chapter 1 has more good news. I want to read for you these great verses. Look with me, verse number 6, the Bible says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do you see those three scenarios there? 1, 2, 3. They get better each time. And by the end, we have Jesus Christ dying for all sinners. Now, there are some very sour people in the ministry today who say that Jesus didn't die for everyone, only people who will end up being saved and in heaven. No, friend, the Bible's very clear. It says here that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love to the whole world. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so there's a lot of rejoicing in order here. We should wipe the frowns away and put a smile on the face of sinners who understand that I am a sinner, but Jesus paid it all. And by faith in him, I have everlasting life. I wish you could have been in the room with me that night with that group when they let the joy loose in that room before they ever took the stage. And that joy never stopped all night long. And they went away from me excited about extending the gospel in their corners of the world and I in mine. And it was a really cool time. Verse number 9 says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Amen. I ought to be enemies with God, but I am no longer, because God put his own son to death on the cross to pay for my sin and yours, friend. The bridge has been crossed. I'm into everlasting life, and so are you if your faith is in Jesus as mine. Now, verse 11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." I've received the atonement by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It's not by my goodness. It's not by my works. It's not because I work hard for God. That has nothing to do with being saved. But my salvation is by grace. I don't deserve it, but I got it for free when I believed in Jesus. And friend, now we've received the atonement. The word is at-one-ment. We're at one now with God. Friend, put your faith in Jesus and know you're saved. And if you are already, friend, rejoice today in your faith in Christ. Amen. It's good.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddiecoyle.org. That's FreddieCoyle.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.